The following program, Flame On, is presented by the Nerdy Show Network, geeky programming for all nerds across the multiverse. All Nerdy Show programming is made possible by A Comic Shop, Orlando's number one comic and nerd destination, where you can see me probably crying in a corner, and with generous support from listeners like you. To learn how you can support other fine geeky programming, visit nerdyshow.com.
Welcome to Flame On, I'm Brian, and today we're going to talk about Spider-Man.
Spider-Man does whatever Spider can. Can he swing from a bridge? Yes, he can. He's Spider-Man.
Is that it?
I'll probably have more later.
All right, good. So that's BJ.
You got to be careful how long you sing that for, though. You don't want to get into copyright territory.
Ooh.
That's true, actually, because we've had tracks flagged before, and we don't like that.
Ooh, have we?
Yeah, on SoundCloud. It was a long time ago.
So back in the day.
That was Eric, and then that was Dulcet Tones of Pat, our illustrious executive producer and show bon vivant.
Ooh.
Hi, everybody.
I like that.
I like the adjectives you added in there.
Thank you. So, Spider-Man, Homecoming. Now, this is our micro episode for Flame On. Of course, you've probably heard of us. That's why you're listening to us. But we are going to do a deep dive on the Spider-Man Homecoming movie that just came out like a couple weeks ago. Okay, about a month. I don't know. How long has it been? My life is a blur.
I think it was a couple of weeks.
It was
beginning of July.
Yeah.
This is now the beginning of August. It's crazy. But if you have not seen it, of course, please go back, pause the show, wait a little bit, go see it. And then come back. I mean, you can listen to us talk about it without seeing the movie. If this is your way of...
Are we going right into spoilers at the beginning?
Well, no. But this is a blanket warning for all this episode.
Listen, so we need to wait to say that Tom Holland dies at the end?
Oh. That's a different movie.
But listen, the title of this episode is Spider-Man.
Yes.
If you haven't seen the movie, probably shouldn't be listening to it.
But people do. So, I mean, look, I don't like people yelling at me. This is not a thing. I am not a conversational person.
They might have thought it was
a
misnomer.
Oh, I mean, but there's been so many Spider-Man movies.
Spider-Man.
Too many Spider-Man 2, too many Spider-Man.
It's going to say Homecoming, for Christ's sake, people.
Is it? Okay.
So, I do a good job labeling these episodes.
I thought it was that musical that Titus Andromeda was auditioning for.
Aww.
Coming soon.
So, we've all seen it. What do we think? Do we like it? Do we hate it? What do we like about it? What do we hate about it?
Boo, it was horrible.
Okay.
Boo,
oh,
you.
No, I'm just kidding.
I will start then.
Do it.
I have seen all of the Marvel films. Yes, I've seen all the Marvel films. I have not seen Iron Fist, the Marvel Netflix show. Sorry. And this is probably up there in my top, let's say, three of the Marvel films.
Really?
Yes.
Have you seen all the Spider-Man movies?
I have not, and here's why. Those of you who remember my brother Jeff, who used to be on the show a long time ago, he is still on the cast, but he may or may not ever come back. We'll see.
What?
He's busy. He's got a kid. Right, it's crazy.
Scratch.
Listen.
Right?
Now he'll be back someday. So he loves Spider-Man. When we were growing up, Spider-Man was his thing. And so then, as anyone with a little sibling knows, that cannot be then your thing, or rarely is the case that you would share things. And so basically, that was his thing. He would buy the comics. I bought a couple. I knew Spider-Man was, obviously. But it was never my thing, so I didn't keep up with it. So when the Tobey Maguire movies came out, over a decade ago now?
Oh, my God.
I watched them. They were fine. I didn't, rush out. It was always like, oh, okay, new Spider-Man, great, whatever. And then when the Andrew Garfield ones, which are more recent, came out, I actually just didn't even bother. And not because I was curious. I wanted to know what they did. I still want to watch them eventually, but just skipped over them altogether. So, again.
I have them on Blu-ray.
Do you?
Yes.
Regardless of the Spider-Man movies, and I include those in the Marvel movies, but I would even say of the Marvel Cinematic Universe proper, the Spider-Man Homecoming movie of all of those movies is in my top three.
Nice.
It's just that good. And it's good because of many reasons that we'll go into. But What did you guys think?
Okay. So I am probably one of the biggest Spider-Man fans I know. It's very hard for me to find something I don't like in any iteration of Spider-Man, Spider-Woman, anything that is vaguely spider-like. It comes from my entomology obsession and arachnidology obsession.
So do you like Blue Beetle as well?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So you're consistent.
As soon as I found out Blue Beetle existed, I went out and read a whole bunch of Blue Beetle comics. Yes, same.
Okay.
Ant-Man.
Yep. Okay, good.
Michelle Pfeiffer?
I know. Yes.
I love Michelle Pfeiffer.
I'm excited.
I'm very excited. But I loved it. I absolutely loved it. It was a big, without getting in too much into the reasons why, it hit all of the Spider-Man sweet spots. And
how many G-spots does a spider have?
Oh, boy.
put your degree to use.
I mean...
I'm just kidding.
I mean, if the female eats her mate, then his whole body is her G-spot because she's hungry afterwards.
Oh, all right.
So,
good to know.
But it was great. It was absolutely phenomenal. I loved the cast. I can't wait to talk a little more on the specifics. But, yeah, no, loved it. 10 out of 10. Would... Spin again? I don't know.
That works.
Tens across the board.
Oh, category is spider realness. I don't know. Eric, what do you think?
I thought it was great. It's my favorite of the Spider-Man movies, but I have not seen Spider-Man 3. So obviously
I can't give a
pretty sure that will top this one for you.
Yeah.
Report back after you've watched that.
I did prefer the Andrew Garfield movies to the Tobey Maguire movies.
Okay.
Which is probably an unpopular opinion, but
I mean, I know people who like them better. So.
I do.
Pat?
I enjoyed it. I actually, I've never really been a big Spider-Man fan. I've only seen 2 out of the 5 current iteration Spider-Man movies before this one. I liked Sam Raimi's, and everyone back and watched Spider-Man 3. I did see his emo dancing scene, though, so I feel like that's enough for me to be able to speak educatedly enough about it.
There's still so much in that third movie that's actually good, but there's so much that's bad, it just tips the scales.
Well, I mean, I love when you can beat an enemy just by playing, like, wind chimes. It's fantastic.
But, I mean, that's not unlike the comic.
I know, but yeah. that's
the comic
that's
doesn't always make sense either. Let me tell you. I mean,
my favorite moment of him fighting Venom in the comic is when he literally just steals a bullhorn and uses it as a punchline to just get right back in his face, and the guy and Venom's like, "Man, that's not gonna work. Batteries aren't fully charged. Nice try, buddy." And just like, okay.
Oh, but yeah, no. This was a really good movie. Actually, I'm impressed. I'm happy to see that Sony and Marvel work together very well, and hopefully that will be that little bit of a push for other studios.
Fox.
Exactly.
Oh, they coughed. They meant Fox. They said Fox. Give us X-Men.
Oh,
Fox.
I'm sorry. That cough covered up me saying Fox. God damn it, Fox.
20th century.
But no, it was really good. There was only one thing that upset me to my core movie, but I will digress and I will make the listeners wait until we get to the negative section.
It's the tease
before I divulge it. And it's not that they floated to London on a magical boat.
What?
Wonder Woman.
Oh, that. Oh, I forgot about that already. Wow, has it been so long? So, wow. Let's talk cast. And I think you can't make a good Spider-Man movie, obviously, without a good Spider-Man / Peter Parker. I have not hated Tobey Maguire's casting. Andrew Garfield certainly looked great and seemed like he embodied Peter Parker, Spider-Man. But neither of them, I think, were young enough to really get at that Peter Parker in high school.
Yeah.
Peter Parker really kind of not learning about his powers as much. Thank God they sidestepped that whole thing, because it's just we all know. We know about Spider-Man's origin. We know about his powers. We're good.
No, but they replaced it with a fantastic becoming a superhero montage instead of a learning how to use your powers montage.
Yes.
True.
Where he had to help where he stopped a bike robbery. He gave an old lady directions. Like, it was...
He webbed a guy who was just trying to get into his own car. Like...
Yeah. Like, that was actually a really cute way to kind of show his becoming a hero instead of having that... With not having an origin story, per se.
And I almost felt that wasn't that as much as that was... The friendly neighborhood part. Like, that was the contrast of Spider-Man is the street level, low, doing good deeds to help the people in his neighborhood kind of thing.
Well, yeah, but I mean, it's both. It's a little bit of both. It serves as both, because Tony Stark, you know, has the whole comment about why can't you be the, you know,
friendly neighborhood Spider-Man.
You
said the phrase. I pointed at the screen at that.
Could you say also amazing and spectacular Spider-Man at some point? I'm sure there's another one, too.
Superior.
Oh, no.
Well, that's Doc Ock, so really. Amazing.
I would actually, that'd be amazing if they could pull that off. Now, digress. Tom Holland. You, Eric, told me that he was a Billy Elliot.
Yes, he was one of the original Billy Elliots in London.
And he's only 20, which makes me feel like he's doing a good job in life if he's looking that young.
And he's just a smaller framed person in general.
And then he took off his shirt with them damn abs. I'm like, you look like you're 12. Okay, I'm having impure thoughts right now. Put your shirt back on, Spider-Man.
And he can lip sync to Rihanna very
well. Oh my God. Okay, stop right now.
Yeah.
If you have not seen Tom Holland's lip sync to Rihanna. Rihanna.
Lip sync battle.
Rihanna.
Rihanna. With the Rihannis.
So that's what the cool kids call her. So if you have not seen this on, what is it, on Lip Sync Battle?
Lip Sync Battle, yeah.
This is...
Knockoff Drag Race?
Yeah, pretty much.
Pretty much.
The whole lip sync thing is, I mean, obviously borrowed from drag, but go stop right now. Go to YouTube. Find it. Watch it. It is sickening. Like, I'm impressed. I'm really just blown away. And is he the one, didn't Holland say the other day or recently, like, that he's gay, but not...
No,
that was Garfield.
Oh, that was Garfield.
That was Garfield.
Again, apologies. They're both Peter Parker. But it wouldn't shock me if Tom Holland... He's not out, right? I don't think he's out. I think I keep wanting to think he's the diver guy. Who's the diver?
Tom Daly?
Yes. I think I'm wanting to confuse those two.
You're confusing the two.
I mean, they're both smaller, diminutive, potentially British. Could be bottoms. I don't know. British. Listen...
I feel like some projecting is happening.
Probably just a little bit.
A little bit of projecting.
But no, seriously, the best thing about Tom Holland's performance is his accent and his youthful, joyous, whatever. But he sounds like a guy from that area, knowing several people from the Long Island, Queens.
My accent is nothing like that, sir. Thank you. Nothing like that. Thank you.
He did sound more New York than Toby or Andrew.
So I know Long Island's a different accent. I get that, but there's a certain anyway. He sounds like he's from New York.
I have the Jewish influence accent.
Yeah, you do. Yeah.
They have the Italian influence.
There it is.
That's the difference.
Your family's got a little of both too.
That's because John's a Guinea from Staten Island.
Is that
Island.
Racist?
Not when it's your family.
Wow.
Do they listen to the show?
No, not at all.
No. Okay. So, but yes, his accent was great. I think one of the parts around him is that Queens is such a character in the film. And I know the other films have been in New York, filmed in New York, set in New York, obviously. But like, I really, really seeing him swinging under the subway.
Yeah.
Like that. And I don't live there. I've only been there, a handful of times now? But that
Wait,
was
under
so...
the trains.
Under the trains, not yes. the... Oh, that's right. Subway's it's the underground. Lear. It's not the...
Yeah, from Long Island through Queens into Manhattan, they have the trains run
elevated
above.
Train.
Elevated
trains. I had to actually look that up after I saw the movie because I was like, wait, what? Is that a thing?
Oh, and yeah. Then,
yeah.
Through the main stretch, especially when you're coming through the island going towards Manhattan.
Yeah.
Basically, you're just driving... Right underneath all of those. So.
Yeah.
Well, and the thing that it's funny because I've watched all of the Spider-Man movies, and the thing that kind of makes this work in my head is that if you read really old Spider-Man comics, Peter is like a 1950s, like, golly gee. And that's what I felt with Tobey Maguire. Like
a little bit, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I felt with Tobey Maguire. And then you have like the Todd McFarlane era where he's like a little bit more grizzled, cynical. And then I'm like, oh, well, that's Andrew Garfield Spider-Man. And now you have like a current, like this Spider-Man feels like a person like you could meet. like a normal, like he's pretty much a normal kid other than his superpowers.
Right.
He's just a smart kind of nerdy kid.
They've updated it to feel like it is a contemporary thing.
Yes.
Yeah, they definitely contemporized the entire setting, all the classmates. Like, it really feels like an inclusive 2017 school in Queens.
Yeah.
So it doesn't just feel like, you know, with updating, like, you don't just have the, you know, Flash Thompson isn't the blonde hair, blue eyed, you know, muscular jock that's going to, you know.
Which I kind of still would have preferred, but I do love that actor so much that I was okay with it.
It was a departure, but I think it really worked very well where...
Tom Revolori?
Tony Revolori.
Oh my God. Did you recognize him from the Grand Budapest? He was the bellhop, bellboy or whatever.
I slept through most of that movie.
You told me you liked that movie.
But I own it.
How
so do we.
How early into the relationship did you see that movie?
Pretty early.
Okay, then he didn't like the movie.
I fall asleep through a lot of the movies you make me go see.
But he loves you.
I'm still not convinced Harrison Ford is in Blade Runner.
You fail at life, sir. And you fail at the Blade Runner test. That's a whole other story.
I was iffy on it.
Yeah.
But I kind of like... Well, because one of the few things they kind of changed or updated is that Peter's at a like a gifted school.
Right.
And all the students are like academics. So I like this idea that, no, Flash can still be a dick and still be kind of smart.
Sure.
But you can
be an athletic jock and be smart.
True.
So you could have done both.
Yeah. But I feel like the previous Flash Thompsons, because wasn't Joe Manganiello.
Manganiello. Yes, yeah. He was.
He was a Flash Thompson in one of the Spider-Man movies.
He was.
I don't know which movie that was, but I'm going to go back and watch it.
Tobey Maguire.
He's in it for a hot second.
Is that three? Because I'm pretty sure.
It would have been three.
I think it was three.
Thank you.
No, the best part. It wasn't three. It was when Peter was still in high school in one or two. One.
But he's an astronaut, and they show him as an astronaut or coming back from space.
Oh,
yes.
Okay.
Because he's got a whole character arc where he's like a half wolf thing, man wolf. I don't know.
That's J. Jonah Jameson's son, J. Jonah Jameson Jr.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
See, this is my problem. Spider-Man mythos, I know a little bit.
There's a lot going on.
You're right.
This is the only Flash Thompson, whereas the other Flash Thompsons were just guys like, I'm going to punch you in the face, Parker. This one was like relentless every time they're on the scene together.
Penis Parker,
just making his, oh, so you knew Spider-Man? Like, very in his face.
Do you know Peter Parker?
Yeah, the whole thing. Like, it gave that character a little bit more fleshing out than the previous movies.
I also have to give it up for the casting of Ned. Jacob Batalon.
Yep.
Jacob Batalon.
No one is... they're calling him Ned because Ned is a
Genki.
Character from... Yes, he's Genki.
He's Genki.
And they even thank Bendis and... one of the artists who did a lot of stuff with Bendis. I think it was Lopez. They thanked him in the credits because basically a lot of this movie borrows from the Ultimate Spider-Man stuff.
Yeah.
It's not Bagley?
Bagley is... There's a street name in there for Bagley, but it wasn't Bagley that was thanked.
Oh, okay.
Now, I'm pretty sure they had, again, a more overt reference in the movie.
Yeah, no. I remember reading that there was graffiti that said
Bagley.
But
they actually, in the script, in the credits, because they didn't... Like, they weren't part of the script, but they borrowed heavily from stuff. They thanked him.
Yeah, no. Oh, well, because I thought... Bendis and Bagley, like, have the... like, that... record long run on Ultimates.
No, they do. They totally do.
Now, here's the interesting thing is, so Ned is an actual character in Peter Parker's school days.
Right.
And the weird, sad thing about it is, I doubt they'll go this route in the movie because that would be really heavy, is that Ned gets kidnapped by Kingsley, the original Hobgoblin, and is conditioned and hypnotized into being the Hobgoblin.
But isn't the last name different?
The last name is different.
But I didn't think it wasn't a schoolmate. He worked at the Daily Bugle with him and becomes he's a romantic suitor for
Betty. Yeah.
Who is one of the girls at the school that they use. But yeah, no. I don't think he was, because most of those extra people weren't school-aged in the comics.
Yeah.
But he was in there, so yeah. It just...
Yeah, they shuffled around, but it's just that just goes to show you how like Easter egg heavy and like
character
heavy.
Oh yeah, this was crazy.
Like, because Betty Brant's in there,
mm-hmm.
Betty's in there,
Cindy's in there.
Yep, Cindy's in there. And then my favorite little nugget that they gave me is that
at the end.
No. Aaron Davis, the Prowler.
Oh yeah. Yes.
Who is Miles' uncle? So Miles is like, even if it could be years down the line, but Miles is officially in the MCU. And I like that little exchange.
As long as you look it up, because they didn't explicitly say. They just said, he said that, you know, he has a nephew.
But the fact that he says that is there
for a reason. That file that he looks up in the suit, he's called the Prowler. That's what the cops call him. So he is.
Well, no. Yeah, I had to look it up, and I mean, I knew that Donald Glover. There was a whole big campaign for him to be Miles in the Spider-Man movies.
If only it had been 10 years ago,
right?
Yeah, that was a cool little Easter egg and a little nod to him and fan service in a good way.
Yeah, and this is what's nice about this movie is it's fan service, but it's not heavy-handed or it's so subtle that you just have to catch it, and if you miss it doesn't. Do anything. What did you guys think about the love interest Liz, the misdirection with her, and the is it Michelle and the misdirection with her? Because even though I remember them saying they cast Zendaya as Mary Jane, or at least that's what the thing going around was, I didn't know who Zendaya was. I still really don't, other than this movie. But the name is, you know, obviously one name, right?
She's a Disney person.
Yeah, and I've heard that, but
I was like, at this point, if it's a young person, I don't know who they are. They were on a Disney show.
So I kept sitting there thinking, okay, Liz, is this actually Mary Jane's, like, is Mary Jane her other names? Like, it was just really confusing that this love interest wasn't Mary Jane, because that's like the obvious choice. But then with that route, how that got revealed, that surprised me genuinely. And Pat, I think you knew about it a little bit.
No, I didn't know about that. I knew that Liz was going to turn out to be
the
Vulture's daughter, but
well, and then the thing at the end where they're like, she's like, "Oh, Michelle, people call me MJ," and it's like, "Whoa!"
But I still don't think they're going to make her married,
right? Because her name's not
obviously but
but it's an odd thing then to put out there and not, you know.
So the thing with Liz though is Liz was like Peter's very first,
but a different Liz. I mean, it's Liz. And so they're playing off that, but the last names are different, so they're kind of using that character.
They've played off Liz a while, like in Ultimate Spider-Man, Liz ended up being Firestar.
Ah, yes.
I've noticed that a lot of this, they end up playing with Liz's character in a lot of recent stuff.
Uh-huh.
But traditionally, in the original Spider-Man run, she was Peter Parker's like first love interest. She's like, yeah, sure, let's go out. And then he cancels on her constantly he's Spider-Man.
There you go.
And so it's kind of like... the whole first love interest thing. I actually really, really, really liked the twist with her being Liz Toombs, Toombs' daughter, and that whole car ride from her house to the homecoming dance.
Amazing.
Was like the perfect when worlds collide moment.
Oh, yeah.
And the best part is Liz essentially letting her father know unknowingly that, like, oh yeah, you always disappear. You disappear that one time too. And him mm-hmm. him connecting the dots. And I was like, oh, you just fucking hit shit up, Liz.
And I thought it was great how it was revealed to the Vulture that mm-hmm. it was Peter Parker.
Yeah.
He like figured it out. He Batman detective did out of the things.
Funny you say that. Michael Keaton's Vulture is probably one of the best villains they've done.
Oh, completely.
In terms of being a completely believable, I say in quotes, but you know what I mean. It's a very understandable reaction. His motivation is very honest and believable. And his acting, Michael Keaton, if you've not seen Birdman,
I have not.
And then this movie.
Oh God!
Michael Keaton is an amazing actor, and that scene you're talking about is like where he earned his whole paycheck. It's just watching his facial expression, seeing a guy who's having these realizations but is trying to keep it like somewhat
this little
quiet,
bastard,
right? And a complicated like relationship that's being formed, because obviously this kid not only likes your daughter likes him, but this kid saved your daughter's life. And then that kind of plays back into some of the relationship later. Like, it's complex, and it was gloriously complex. And, well, that's, and Peter, you don't see that as often.
And Peter saved him.
Well, and then that too.
That was that. I mean, that whole idea that like Peter Parker's life is super complicated and pretty much sucks a good chunk of the time, but he doesn't crack and he still makes that hard decision and the right one. Mm-hmm. And but like Michael Keaton, like that little blurb pretty much that took place at the end of Avengers 1.
Oh, yeah.
Which
yeah,
pretty
yeah.
much started his motivation.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So you're talking about the scene with Damage Control and Tyne Daly, yeah. who I haven't seen since Judging Amy like a decade ago or something. I don't know what she's been doing, but she looked great.
The fact that you turned and you were like, she's still alive?
Well, she's older. I mean, she looked fabulous. I mean, honestly, you go back and watch Judging Amy, she looks a little younger. But, I mean, like, she looks great. The fact that they brought Damage Control in was geeky and awesome. But, like, that origin,
yeah,
like you're talking about, that sort of picking up right after Avengers 1 or the first Avengers movie ends.
And this is what I like. This is what I like about the current Marvel run since the takeover from Joss Whedon, is that everything has like a super different feel. Everything feels so different and so everything has its own style now. Like Guardians always kind of had their own style, but they've it's like everybody went and sat down and they're like, why do people like Loki so much? It's because he's a relatable villain. And that's the thing I've noticed is with what's coming up with Thor Ragnarok, apparently they're saying that Hel is like a super relatable villain.
Hela.
Is it Hela?
Hela.
Oh. You
come
you
on, two. Call back to Tom Holland doing Rihanna.
Oh.
But that's the thing is Michael Keaton's Vulture was just like you feel a little bad for him in the beginning.
Yeah. Oh, he's getting totally screwed over.
He's getting screwed over. Nobody gives a shit about the little guy.
Government machine trying to keep the little man down.
Yeah. So he's like,
he needs to call Alex Jones and complain.
If they're gonna treat me like some animal, I'm gonna be an animal. Like it's very. Yeah. I just love it, and I love the parallels between him and Peter.
Yes. The little guy versus the bigger superhero kind of thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a constant sort of theme in the movie.
And I love it.
I know this will be a fun discussion. What about Aunt May? First of all, Marissa Tomei, amazing, always fun.
Insert wolf whistle here because I can't do it.
There you go.
They sexed her down a little bit.
A lot of bit.
They sexed her down. She's like, she looks like hot mom as opposed to like hot aunt, hot mom, young aunt.
Hot mom without makeup, which is fine, but she didn't. No.
Except for that one time when I just wanted to go into the movie and just brush her hair. Because as it's sitting there in the Thai restaurant and she's looking to the side and there's just one piece of hair bumped off the back of her, I'm like, just take a brush to
it. And you know that was deliberate. You know that was totally deliberate.
No, it wasn't.
Show.
That was totally.
No. No, nothing like that escapes people's.
But they played off of it so well.
She was an absent-minded single mom single aunt trying to keep the world together with this insane situation that she clearly knew about to a point.
But like, I like the fact that, you know, everybody was like, well, isn't she young? Isn't she a little too attractive? But I love the fact they played off that from the beginning with the guy that works in the convenience store.
Oh, yeah.
Says in Spanish, like, how's your hot aunt? And he's just like, almost as good as your hot daughter in Spanish. He's just like, I'm not serving you anymore.
Well, and Tony Stark, certain flirting kind of.
How's your hot aunt?
Yeah.
The guy at the Thai restaurant giving her extra food.
Mm-hmm.
I think he larbs you.
I was thankful that she never became a hostage.
Yes.
Yes.
Movie. Yes.
Like, even though Toombs did threaten his family, it never got to that point.
That trope is
played
out. Because even though he didn't figure out who Peter was until
later.
Like right before.
So there was no real time to kind of, like, he can threaten the family because then he can find out who they are, but there was no real time for that to be a thing, which thankfully they didn't because it's been done to death at this point.
Yeah, right.
I did like the little moment where when he doesn't call her back and he goes home and she comes in and she's like, you can't do that to me. You can't make me worry. And that was a that was like a nice little touch.
Yeah. Very real.
That they've been through some shit and he can't do that to her.
Without doing a flashback and making it heavy-handed. Yeah.
It was the perfect little for anybody, because I did read some articles where some people complained that, like, well, we didn't even get to see what Uncle Ben looked like. We didn't even get to see a picture.
Who cares? Uncle Ben dies in the first 10 minutes anyway. Right?
He's on every box of rice out there in the world.
I call racist.
That's totally not racist.
I call racist.
Oh, I see what you did there.
There we go.
Nice.
But I liked that moment where, because up until that moment, we just got a little bit of, like, Aunt May's trying, because she didn't really expect to be a mother at this point in her life, and you got a lot of the whole, like, well, I have a teenager, I'm his aunt mom, and she, you know, she's quirky, and I loved that about the performance where she's cracking jokes at dinner, and he's not really paying attention, but I loved that. I loved their dynamics so much.
I will say this, and this is very, I don't know if surprising. It is a role that traditionally is played by a slightly older woman. I mean, it's been getting younger and younger. Like, who is the
one? They've de-aged Spider-Man, and they've de-aged Aunt May in all the movies.
But it takes a role away from a nice older actress. So in that
Marissa
sense...
Marissa Tomei's not like 20.
No, I know, but she's... And I know she's not... Okay, but what I'm saying is, I don't remember who played her in the first one. In the second one, it was Sally Fields.
Sally Fields.
I mean, nobody remembers who played her in the first movie. Poor little old lady.
But no, if I had to pick an Aunt May that I recognize as Aunt May of all of the movies, it's that first movie. It's that first trilogy.
Yeah, but that harks back to what I said before, where it's like each Spider-Man's like a different Spider-Man through the decades.
You've got the
Aunt May's,
but they've never really de-aged her in the comics.
But if you want Aunt May to be an actual aunt,
yes,
first level aunt.
I know what you're saying.
As opposed,
she
to
can't
like
be 70
exactly.
when he's 15.
Exactly,
I get that. I totally get that. I just.
We would also like her to be alive through the next five movies. Poor Sally Field, 70 years old. She's not going to be doing too much more.
Is she really 70?
Yes.
Yep.
Oh, Jesus.
Marissa Tomei is 52 and Sally Field is 70.
I mean, again, Marissa did a great job. Now, I know you had one issue with her.
I was so mad. Peter doesn't call her Aunt May. He constantly refers to her as May. And I'm sorry, but I was raised a proper Christian woman. You do not speak like that to your direct family.
So you unless, call your aunt aunt something?
I call her Titi, which is a kid-ized version of Tia, which is aunt.
Okay, no, no.
I always called my aunt and uncles uncle. Whatever.
Same here.
Yeah,
same here.
On my dad's side, of Auntie Liz and Uncle John.
That's true.
So my Auntie Leslie... When I was a kid, she'd let me call her Auntie Leslie. Auntie. When she hit her midlife crisis or whatever, she told me not to call her Auntie anymore.
Sure, I
get that. Because she was nervous about her age. So, no, for the longest time, I call her Leslie. And
you call your mother Gail.
I only call her Gail when she's trifling, which is a good chunk of the time.
I love that it's like a punishment. It's like
I'm going to put you on a plane, Donna.
But she doesn't respond to mom half the time because she's an empty nester. And the thing I've noticed with her is like, so when my sister still lived at home and I'd be like, hey, mom, she'd turn around. And then after my sister moved out for a couple of years, I'd go home and she'd be sitting on the couch or she'd be reading or just walking around and be like, hey, mom, she'd walk right past me. Mom, walk right past me. Gail. And she'd turn right around and be like, yeah, what? And I'm like, so it happens in some families.
Yeah, no,
and,
it's okay.
And if Aunt May's younger, she doesn't want to be like, I'm not old enough. I'm not old. Don't call me aunt. See, I could see her being like that.
I get that.
But aunt is never like, has never really, there's no, it's not like grandma. Like I could understand grandma, especially for women who have kids early in life, whose kids then have kids early in life. So let's say you're 15 and you have a kid and that kid ends up having a kid at 15. You're now 30 and a grandmother. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I could completely see that. You can be an aunt or an uncle at 1 or 2 years old, depending on family members.
Ooh, that's awkward.
Well, it's even worse when you have an aunt or uncle that's now younger than you.
That is weird. Weird.
I mean, you look at the 19 kids and counting or whatnot. And that's totally. That's
I had some friends in high school. Their grandfather remarried and they have an aunt and uncle that's like 10 years younger than them.
Weird. I mean, it had great. Good for you. All right. So, yeah. So May, Aunt May.
Aunt May.
Is not.
I got it when, I was about to say when Genki said it, when Ned said it, that's fine because a lot of times, you know, and honestly, even, you know, going back to when I grew up, my mother wanted to bitch smack me because my best friend at the time, his mom was like, oh, just call me Regina. And I said it once and my mother was like, you do not call her that. You call her Mrs. Frank. And I'm like, oh, yes, mom. Because it's a respect thing. Like, yes, it's always been ingrained that it's a form of respect. When you're older, if you know, like, I mean, it's ingrained in my head. But like with your aunt BJ, like, that's fine. If they're like, okay, like, you're an adult now, call me, you know, call me this.
You've graduated to the adult club. You can call me Brian.
Oh no! Once I turned 18, my mom was like, you can curse in front of me. It's fine. Just don't curse at me, or I will end you.
Wow.
Yeah.
And by the way, Rosemary Harris was the original Aunt May in the Sam Raimi trilogy.
I have no idea who that is, other than knows her.
She's she won a Tony for best lead actress in a play.
Well, looking at it.
All right.
She Chisholm's Notorious Woman, Chamomile Lawn, Holocaust.
Wow.
Damn. Okay.
I was about to make a joke that just wouldn't.
That was probably the best. So,
but she's 89 years old.
So
now,
there was. I read that there was an interesting scene that was cut filmed involving Aunt May, in that while Peter's out doing his friendly neighborhood stuff, he sees Aunt May actually save a person, like pulls them out of traffic or something, like a pedestrian wandering in front of a car, and she saves their life.
Wow.
And then they both get back home and Peter's like, oh, what'd you do today? And she's like, oh, nothing, just the normal. And she's like, what'd you do? And he's like, nothing, just the normal.
Oh, nice.
And it's just,
aw. It runs in the family.
Secrets and lies. Secrets and lies.
Secret plan.
Oh, no. Revenge on my mind.
Oh, Fifi's not here, is she?
Oh.
Fifi was at Comic-Con, though, I guess.
I know. And she was doing gigs all weekend. I know. I'm so sad.
I didn't see any of them. So bad.
Somebody posted, and they were like, it was so good seeing this one every single time. Oh, it was Dan?
Yeah,
okay.
Dan did do that.
Like, damn you.
Yeah.
Were you?
Although maybe I'll see her at DryCon, so I don't know.
Were you okay with May finding out at the end of the movie?
I don't really. It was a great moment. I don't really have a problem with her knowing, because honestly, that part's never been a thing.
They did it in Ultimate Spider-Man.
I was going to say that's pretty much taken right out of Ultimate Spider-Man.
They've done that in the newer cartoons. There's a moment where she either kind of like where he makes an excuse to leave, and she's like, look at that boy going out to be Spider-Man. He thinks I don't know. But it's definitely something a little bit more common now.
Sure. It was always ridiculous that Aunt May wouldn't realize, and you could maybe blame her age and then possibly senility. Because, like, how do you not know this kid is leaving all the
sneaking.
Damn time?
Which she even mentioned in the movie. She's like, I know you're sneaking out at night.
Well, right, exactly. Which was, again, their relationship of secrets and lies.
It was perfect though it felt like she got plucked right out of My Cousin Vinny and right into Spider-Man.
That's true. Actually,
like, yes, bitch. You see that, right?
That is very true. So what else? We've neglected a lot of things in the movie.
Multiple villains done well.
Yeah, because normally their intelligence is cut by the number of villains in the movie.
And the story usually suffers, but the fact that
the shocker,
like, you had two shockers.
Yeah,
you had two shockers.
Is that when you put two pinkies in the butthole?
Oh boy.
Double shocker, what does it mean?
But if you would like to explain to us what a double shocker is.
Only a one-fisted shocker though.
Send us pictures at bj@flameonshow.com.
that works.
Thing?
Do
I
it.
Think it's a thing. I don't know.
I like to get weird. But they had shocker, they had the tinkerer.
I totally would never have guessed that was the Tinkerer, because I barely know who the Tinkerer was. And did it look like him? Did he have like the little cap? Like, I don't.
Yeah, he looked like a younger version.
Okay.
Because the Tinker's usually just an old guy that's like, I know how to make cool shit.
Yeah.
And he villains pay him out the nose. Mm-hmm. Like Kingsley Hobgoblin's one, a big customer of his.
I just love that you asked if he looked like the Tinkerer, considering the Vulture did not look like a geriatric man, bald man.
No,
Aunt May didn't look like a geriatric
with wings.
But they had the leotard.
They had things that evoked that, like the Vulture had
the wings.
No, not the wings. His flight jacket, the feathering that was intended
he had the feather boa.
Yeah, basically. So let's sit down. Very
the
warm.
Pre Scorpion.
We did. Yeah. We had Matt Gargan. We actually had I guess traditional Shocker. We had Shocker Mark II. But yeah, I like that because you've essentially, and that whole crew idea harks back to another set of villains, the Wrecking Crew.
The Wrecking Crew and also versions of the Sinister Six, which usually Sinister Six is more the big A-list Spider-Man villains. But
which was the movie that got scrapped by Sony.
Did it?
Yeah.
Originally. Supposedly. Which means that they might be revisiting. Either they scrapped it because it'll eventually play into the MCU shared movies.
Yes.
Or they'll revisit it because of how well this movie did.
Yeah, it's possible.
But I could see them shying away after how bad...
Well, that's because
Suicide Squad was.
Yes, but
I still want a Thunderbolts movie.
Seeing how
I would rather have a Thunderbolts movie than a Sinister Six movie.
Yeah, I mean Sinister. Okay, so the best Sinister Six comics, if you're interested, is the who's the guy writing Secret Empire right now? Oh God, Nick.
Oh, Spencer.
Nick Spencer.
Yeah,
Nick Spencer wrote. And I got to double check this, but I believe it was sort of a Sinister Six comic that was very almost tongue-in-cheek about look at these low C-list Spider-Man villains and look how bungling and crazy and ridiculous they are and their misadventures. And so that actually as a movie would be amazing. I would so watch the shit out of that. Kind of like the losers as...
I mean, that just makes
the
it
superior
feel...
Superior Foes?
Oh, there it is. Superior Foes. Yes, thank you. I didn't think it was Sinister Six.
Because that just makes it feel more like Flash's villains.
It is. Honestly, Spider-Man and Flash have a lot of common sort of like rogues gallery elements. Batman had the more like ridiculous, fantastic stuff. Uh-huh. But Flash and Spider-Man had a little bit more of that street level kind of crew.
They just had a suit.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, it was just a regular human in a suit.
And they're both Silver Age. I mean, so is... Well, Batman's whatever. But actually, no, Batman's stuff was pre-Silver Age. But anyway, like Silver Age villains were a lot of those like science heroes and science villains and street crew. Anyway.
But yeah, I liked the whole thing. They did multiple villains well. They had proto-villains, which is a big deal for me, where if you're going to have... You have the Scorpion, but it's while he's still just kind of a petty criminal before he gets a suit or powers.
Can build off of that later, yeah.
Exactly, yeah. And they have the little moment where he stops with Toomes, and he's just like, "Hey, so I heard you know who Spider-Man is," and Toomes is like, "I know, I know what you're talking about, buddy."
That was a nice touch, and again, it makes sense for the version of Toomes they showed.
Yes,
you know, I would love to see in the next movie Mysterio.
I think that's the next big one. Everybody wants either Mysterio or Kraven, and if they can do multiple villains,
how do you pull off Kraven?
Well, Tom Holland said that the best Kraven would have been Jason Momoa.
Oh,
but now that he's Aquaman,
Kraven's just a tricky thing because it's kind of ridiculous. But Kraven's Last Hunt is one of those epic storylines. I mean, eventually they will revisit. You know,
Doc Ock
and the Hobgoblin. Well, they never did Hobgoblin, right?
No, they've never done Hobgoblin.
So that's an interesting one to do as well. But Green Goblin, of course, Sandman. I mean, they'll eventually go
to the clones.
I find it interesting. No, Jackal, Dr. Jackal. I find it very interesting that they also did not even touch Oscorp. They didn't even mention.
Like, not even a nod.
They didn't even mention where he got bit.
Yep.
And.
Well, that's not always been Oscorp. That's a newer thing. When he first, like, original Spider-Man.
Oh, yeah, original Spider-Man. No. It was just a government lab.
Thing. Yeah, yeah.
I would really like it if they did at some point in any of the Marvel movies or any of the Marvel universe, especially because they said that Tom Holland is, like, the jumping off point for the post Infinity Wars.
Yeah.
Stuff.
I don't understand what they mean by that, but, I mean, all right, great.
But it's
younger heroes.
Yeah, younger heroes. Well, he's going to be a big part of the next set
next
of
generation.
Yeah, next
Marvel
generation.
New Avengers.
Yeah, I mean, you could new actually. Avengers, I would, but see, now the trick with New Avengers is crossing over Luke Cage and Jessica Jones to the movies. And there's that whole political thing where the cinematics one side, the television's another, and the two don't really interact. So that'll be interesting if that ever breaks down. Which, okay, so if you're figuring out ways to work with Sony, a whole other studio, you'd think that Marvel could figure out a way to work with each other.
Yeah.
A little bit.
It's, and I get it. It's a beast. It's like,
it's, well, it's not even that. It's a political thing. Feige came in and did a power play and took that over from Marvel. Yeah. Not studios, but Marvel's like crew of some of the TV people, some of the creators, like like Feige said, nope, this is mine. This is the thing we're doing, and you do your own thing.
And they're working with a lot of different television too, because you have the Netflix series, and then you're going to have
Runaways is out in like September.
Hulu. So Netflix, which, Hulu, and ABC.
And they made an announcement on Runaways saying
it is in the MCU.
They said that Runaways will reference everything.
Good. No, that's,
it's not going to be directly like they're not going to have crossovers.
They're not going to hang out with them, but they're going to they'll talk about everything.
Well, Shield's done that forever now.
Yeah, they all mention it. It's not like it's happening in a separate universe, but they don't have, aside from like Lady Sif being on Shield, like some minor cameos. And now you have to deal with the whole New Humans versus the Inhuman royal family, because now they're even putting themselves into the conundrum by introducing Inhumans into S.H.I.E.L.D. 2 years ago, and now you're not just getting a movie, now you have a television show. So it's going to be interesting how they pull that whole thing off.
But I mean, the ultimate, like, New Avengers, this is kind of how we got off on this tangent, is Nick Cage, Luke Cage, Jessica Jones, Spider-Man, Doctor Strange, which we got. Who else?
Spider-Woman, too.
Yeah, not Jessica Jones. Who is Spider-Woman?
Jessica Drew.
Jessica Drew. Yeah.
I mean, they could, if they wanted to, they could pull Cindy in and make Silk.
They could
take the place of Spider-Woman.
No, because Spider-Woman's amazing, and they ought to adapt Hopeless as Spider-Woman with a baby, because that was amazing.
That was actually pretty good.
I mean, depending, they could put Captain Marvel in there.
You could actually do that, yeah.
I mean, you probably will. You'll probably end up with Captain Marvel, you end up with Doctor Strange, you'll end up with like this whole new...
Next wave?
Which is going to be interesting, because Captain Marvel's set in the 90s, so she's automatically aged 20 years to... current continuity.
If you treat it like Fox treats the X-Men movies, you can jump an entire decade and not look more than like a year older.
But the character is, I think the character's age currently is like in her mid-40s. So.
But I mean, you could also just blame it on her DNA.
Powers.
Alien DNA.
Yeah.
I mean, that would be a good way to do it.
So, but as of right now, that Peter Parker is apparently one of the big heroes that's moving into this new phase post
until he dies.
Infinity Wars. Until he dies. And then we'll have Miles.
The only thing, and part of the reason why I don't think that we'll end up seeing somebody like Spider-Woman in it is because from what I've heard, those movies will not be part of the MCU. There's going to have to, they'll reference it. It'll be like the television shows.
Oh, just stand.
You're going to have like, because there's supposed to be a Black Cat, Silver Sable movie.
Oh, God.
Yep.
That's one of like the big, that's their big female driven one.
But I mean, with Sony, I understand based on the name alone, it would make sense. But does Sony own Spider-Woman?
No. I don't think so.
No.
Spider-Woman was never
because
a Spider-Woman
was
thing.
Never in, like, directly in the Spider-Man
right.
comic.
They were
universe.
Very separate.
But you'd be surprised what
I could see,
got traded
see
out because it's
a
stable of,
yeah.
You know, like when you're talking Silver Sable, you're talking
but those
Black
make
Cat
sense because those all happened in the Spider-Man
well,
comics.
No,
Spider-
I get that.
Spider-Woman never did.
But it's kind of like, it's like saying you get the mutants.
Yeah.
You get the spider people. Like, you know what
but
I mean?
We
like
get the
it'd
Skrulls.
Be...
Or we. MCU gets the Skrulls now.
I was surprised.
Which I think there's speculation that that was part of the movie, the TV rights for like Legion. That was part of the deal, was to get certain rights to certain other characters.
Interesting.
Probably, you know, obviously not top tier A-list names. Like, you know, they're not going to be like, you get Silver Surfer. But, you know, they'll be like, okay, you can use the Skrulls now.
Back to the movie proper, the one thing I absolutely did not like, I did not care for the soundtrack. And the exception is the beginning, because the beginning did the Spider-Man theme as an orchestrated thing for the Marvel credits. But after that, the more I caught of it, the more I paid attention to it, the more I thought it was overdone. And as this is very against my normal, like, I want more soundtrack, I want more like themes for this and that, it was too obtrusive. And it was Giacchino, who's actually at San Diego, and I could have actually met him if I had wanted to wait in line. Surprisingly, I did not wait in line. I waited in a different line for something else. But the problem I had was it was just too much. So I don't know if you guys, it bothered anybody else, but I didn't love it.
I didn't really pick up on it.
I didn't really even know that.
Yeah, typically when I'm first watching a movie, I mean, obviously there'll be points where there's no dialogue or anything where I'll catch it, but I don't usually pay attention to the soundtrack on the first watch of a movie.
When you go back and watch it, let me know what you think. Now, the other thing is Karen. We have not talked about the suit. And Karen, voiced by Jennifer Connelly.
Yep.
Who's married to?
Paul Bettany.
Yes.
Who is?
The Vision.
Yep.
And who was Peter Parker going to be roomed next to at the new Avengers headquarters?
The Vision. Yeah. Which is kind of hilarious.
So, like, come on, 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon right there.
It was kind of funny. But yeah, the Karen stuff, I think what, because I said at the beginning, this is one of my top movies. I think we've talked about a lot of the reasons why it's great. The tone was so light through most of the film, and everything with the suit with Karen was hilarious.
So I for the first time with this movie, I actually sat down and watched like a whole bunch of weird YouTubers and their takes on it. The whole thing with the suit, I was weirded out by it because I was like, okay, so Tony Stark made your suit. It's got all these gadgets. It's got all this stuff in it. It has an AI named Karen. And in my head,
it was not named Karen.
It was not.
He named her Karen.
He named her Karen.
Sorry, continue.
But I was sitting there. I was just like, okay, this is, it's weird. It's a little, it's dangerously
it's
close
not
to
Spider-Man.
It's dangerously close to Superior Spider-Man. And then I watched a YouTube video, and I can't remember the YouTuber, but he was like, I hated it until I realized the point of it. The point of the suit and all the technological stuff, especially with the eyes, it's so Spider-Man can emote with his mask on, which he's never been able to do in any of the other movies.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I was like, son of a bitch. And then I was like, okay, so what's the purpose of Karen? And he's like, the purpose of Karen, Spider-Man talks to himself a lot in the comics, and usually it's thought bubbles.
Right.
So a way to get around that
this
time,
he has somebody to
play off of. And I was like, holy crap.
It also makes a good foil for a training montage type thing. You have a built-in someone to train them.
Yeah.
Which was hysterical.
Yes.
Best 37 minutes.
He skipped. I just love the fact that he hacks it and he
kill mode on
skips everything he was supposed to do, which is mistake number one. Is he didn't even realize he had all this functionality, and then he's like, cool, I got all this cool stuff, and then he starts fucking up.
It's a reverse Metroid. You know, Metroid, you start with everything, and then, oh my God, you lose everything, and you have one thing, and you have to find it all.
Exactly.
It's a reverse Metroid, and that was, it was fun, it was cool.
Interrogation mode.
No, extreme.
You choose.
Extreme, what was the,
it
was,
Kill mode. It was like kill mode.
Interrogation mode was fun, though.
Yeah.
Where are you? Where can I find
I'm
the
I'm a man. You sounded like a girl blood, yesterday.
Blood through me. It's Alex Jones mode. Oh my God.
I love what's wrong with your voice?
that was I mean, but again, this is the beauty of this movie. It's Spider-Man continuity, it's Spider-Man lore, but with a sense of humor. And that's what makes Marvel movies a head and shoulders better than any other studio out there, basically.
DC.
I'm talking about DC. because it doesn't take itself so seriously, but when it needs to get intense, which the last third, maybe fourth of the movie totally turns that page and is intense. So when you've had hilarious and kind of a fun, playful, whatever, and then you have those moments, there's contrast. Mm-hmm. And that contrast is interesting. The DC stuff is all Sturm and Drang and just fucking dissonance
minus Wonder
and crazy.
Woman. There was Wonder Woman.
Well, the last third of Wonder Woman. But yeah, you're right. Wonder Woman did actually kind of come back from that cliff. But just, I love that balance. It's why comic books are fun. They're not meant to all be the Dark Knight strikes back, vengeance into your soul, Watchmen, darkness, I'm going to eat your soul. I mean, they're not all meant to be that bad. Yeah. Comics are fun.
And I'm excited because we actually got to see what looks like to be a cross between the Iron Spider suit and Superior Spider-Man suit.
Yeah, a little bit of that. But did you actually notice that the Spider-Man 2099 stuff showed up in his little webbing? That was adorable, and I squeed a little.
Oh, no, that was part of that was the original thing.
Oh, was that original?
That was an original the gliders.
Oh, I guess
the web gliders.
I thought it was a 2099 thing, but
first appearance on the Fantastic Four when he's up against
You're right.
He's got the webbing.
You're right.
They recently brought it back into his current costume.
Yeah. You're right. But the 2099 thing, I think they just emphasized it maybe a bit.
Maybe
more.
He used it more as a glider because I don't know if it was really.
He used it more of as a glider.
But he didn't have the nails.
He looks like a flying squirrel more.
Yes, so I was just thinking that.
And he's going to wear the suit in Infinity Wars. So
the Iron Spider.
He's gonna have that suit in the big giant battle.
Okay.
In Infinity
that
Wars.
Makes a little more sense. Ooh, can he go in the black suit? Maybe after Infinity War, he gets the thing, goes the black suit.
I love it because it looks like they're on a different planet. So I'm like, come on.
Maybe that's how it'll save his life.
Ooh.
It'll bond to him to save his life. It'll pull a Phoenix.
Wouldn't that be interesting how they do that? That
would
be cool.
Love it.
That'd be really a cool nod.
I would love it.
So yeah. I love it.
But didn't they already announce a Venom movie?
Yeah, Sony? But I mean, the way they time it and the way they build it in, that might be part of the progression. Because Infinity War is next year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
that would work.
Time. Well, that's a lot about Spider-Man. I don't know. Are we missing anything? I feel like we've covered 99%.
It had just the right amount of Tony Stark.
Oh, and we forgot to mention, of course, the thing at the end. Oh, and Happy.
And Happy.
Oh, freaking. What's his name?
Happy. John Happy.
Favreau. Oh,
yeah. Favreau.
He's a great director. I do love his films, but oh my God, he's a great foil for Tony Stark and Spider-Man. The Gwyneth Paltrow thing was kind of a shocker.
Yeah, I know. Pepper didn't die because it really felt like Pepper was dead.
Yeah, they did kind of write her off at one point.
Civil War 2 when they made it seem like...
Pretty sure she's going to die, though.
We were hoping she would kind of be in the suit for...
It was Rescue that saved him. It looked like Rescue.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And the fact that the last time you saw Pepper was when he threw the suit at her and it saved her. I was like, that would have been really kind of... That would have been a moment if the face mask had popped up and there was Gwyneth Paltrow's Pepper. But it wasn't shapely enough with iron boobs.
Iron boobs and an iron heart. No, different character.
Come on, Riri.
But yeah, no, it's a great film. I mean, there's just the music selection.
And Chris Evans.
Oh,
come on, PSA.
Yeah.
So
he's not even the only Avenger that's cameoed in there, though.
No, it's
because they threw a Banner cameo in there.
Oh, yeah.
When they're in class and it's like the greatest minds, the pictures of all them. Well, Banner is one of the pictures.
The principal of the school. The principal of the school was the descendant of one of the Howling Commandos.
Which was really random.
Yeah. Super random.
Cool. Yeah, that was random. But the teachers all had... Each of the teachers had like a little line to just comedy greatness.
Oh, is it Titus Burgess?
Yeah.
And FYI,
wait.
This man, he was the gym teacher.
Really?
Yes. He was the gym teacher. The best.
Really? Wait, Titus? From Kimmy Schmidt?
No.
You're thinking, oh my God, what's his name? Hannibal Buress.
Yeah,
I was like,
you.
That was not Titus Andromedon.
Okay.
But it was
Hannibal Buress. Yes.
Hannibal Buress. The best part about this whole thing is the fact that he hired a guy that looked a little bit like him to go to the red carpet premiere.
Yes.
And people interviewed him because they couldn't tell it wasn't him.
Who?
Hannibal Buress. Like in real life, hired Hannibal Buress lookalike.
My God.
Yes. And when you look at him, you're like, that's not him, but nobody on the red carpet knew.
Wow.
Yeah, it was pretty fantastic.
That is brilliant.
Yes.
Oh, my God. No, so the Captain America PSAs were fabulous.
Captain America PSAs.
Especially since how they were filmed in, the first Avengers suit?
Oh, yeah.
So
an early,
It was just like how the gym teacher said, I'm pretty sure he's a warm criminal now, but you still got to watch this.
Yeah, that's...
I loved when he was on the other side of the TV, and they had him go, my friend, pointing to the left, and he was standing on the right. I was like, That's so perfect.
And that's what Captain America used to do during the USO things. And it's just, it was the best like throwback
in comics,
ever.
Those little stupid little ads they would have. So my favorite one is the last one. If you have not, I mean, we're spoiling everything. The end credits. And this was brilliant.
Oh, my God.
Because people in the theater were so pissed off. There's at least one or two people I heard grumbling about this, the end, how stupid it was. And then someone was like, no, I thought that was brilliant.
It was hilarious.
That. Because it's basically him talking about being patient.
It's trolling the audience.
Oh, it was. Yes. It is the best kind of trolling. It has a sense of humor.
You're waiting for something, and then it's just kind of a letdown. I was like, oh, my God.
It was like they
right
took
here.
The Deadpool aesthetic and injected into this film, which
a little
Deadpool
bit.
Totally borrows from Spider-Man, so that I totally am
it
fine
was
with
great.
That.
That was like, yeah, that
also
was
makes
great.
Googly heart eyes at Spider-Man, too, so it works.
They got a bromance going. It's cool.
Mm.
The only problem with Tom Holland being so young.
Yeah,
you can't really ship so them.
No.
No.
But they and they also mentioned Thor's magic belt.
Yeah, which didn't you look that up after?
Yeah, Mjolnir or something like that. I think it was
Mjolnir.
But it's his belt.
Meow meow
meow meow meow meow.
So yeah, that's Spider-Man Homecoming. It's great. You should see it. If you have your own thoughts or disagree, please let us know. I don't know why you would, because I think you'd be crazy, but hey, let us know.
You love us and you trust us. Give us money.
Well, is that your summary for the last minute of the show?
Yes.
But seriously, if you do like us and you want to give us money, patreon.com/nerdyshow. We are part of the Nerdy Show Network. I know you probably didn't realize that. We're not always the best telling you that.
We're a family.
We are a family.
I mean, it just says it when they download the podcast.
Well, that's true. That's true. You probably do see it.
I believe in our listeners.
I almost went into We Are Family from Sister Sledge. But
wow.
Shows our references. Now, patreon.com/nerdyshow. If you go there and you sign up as a patron, you do get exclusive access to some really cool stuff. We are working on a really fun idea. I'm not going to say it yet because I want to make sure it's totally cool. But if you sign up at a certain level, you might get some mention on the air. I'll just say that much. That will be kind of interesting.
Is that a jockstrap?
Well,
not unmentionables on the air.
We could start the jockstrap
silence was
club.
Palpable.
I'm glad you enjoyed that silence.
God.
Wait a minute. Don't I still have the underwear Charlie Harding wore during that photo shoot?
There we go.
Funny story. Charlie Harding, no longer a porn star?
He got out of the business.
Yeah,
is that his memoirs?
We have a pair of undies with our Flame On logo that he wore in a photo shoot and has never been disposed of and or sold off for charity.
Or washed.
It has never been washed, but it's also not been preserved. Anyway. It's in my office somewhere. So the Patreon thing is really cool. It basically funds our network. So if you have an extra dollar or two, I mean, you pay probably your NPR pledge drive stuff.
Or $8,000.
You give money to the local whatever charity. Like, we're not a nonprofit, but we do basically rely on your money to run our network. So check it out. Let us know. And if you want to find out any of our other awesome social media things, if you go to flameonshow.com and you go to the bottom, you'll see our pretty pictures. You can get all our little chicklets, Facebook, Tumblr, Twitter, some other thing.
Instagram, YouTube.
Instagram. We were actually in Provincetown. We were posting really cool geeky bears in geeky shirts.
And one of Pink Star News did a 20 bears you should see from Bear Week in Provincetown, and the picture that you took of our friend Carl was one of the pictures that was used.
Of course it was.
I love a Carl.
Carl, our social media / politics friend.
And also just a quick shout out to a new listener, Lucio.
Oh yeah, it was lovely. His message was very nice on Facebook.
Yes, he sent us a message on Facebook telling us that he's recently found our podcast and is enjoying it and catching himself up on it. So
welcome.
We thank you for your message, and we love to hear from you guys. So feel free. We're getting a lot more likes in the past couple of days. So like us on Facebook, follow us on social media.
Yeah, and if you are at the San Diego Comic-Con It Gets Geekier panel that I hosted, we have audio from it. It's not the best quality, but I might be able to salvage some clips And certainly the next episode, we're going to have a little bit more of a discussion of what happened at Comic-Con. Because I know several people have been asking me, like, well, what happened?
Well, wait.
What happened?
What happened at Comic-Con does not stay at Comic-Con?
No. There was lots of waiting in line. That's all I'll say. Because honestly, that's mostly what you do in San Diego is you wait in line. But I have some cool stories. And the panel was amazing. I want to thank Joshua Yale from IGN for hooking me up with that gig. Of course, you remember Joshua. If you're a long-time listener, as the question.
Who?
And you know it was so sweet? I will end with this. Joshua introduced me to half a dozen of his IGN friends as the person who gave him his start in the entertainment, whatever industry. Aww. I was very, very humbled. It was really sweet. And his whole team on IGN were super awesome, and I really enjoyed hobnobbing with the fancy people. So I'll have more about that in the future.
And I'll have a joke cast about you saying something about knobs and talking to other people.
Oh, fine. Of course you will.
Anytime.
Uh-huh.
Thwip, flip.
Sploosh.
Thwip, sploosh.
There you go.
I'm sure that's one of the modes. In the
I was going to say.
Thwip sploosh mode.
I think it's time to wrap it up. What do you boys think?
Yes.
And we'll wrap it up with some webbing that'll dissolve in 2 hours.
Oh.
Yay.
We got to wait 2 hours for that? I'm hungry.
Webbing cuddle party.
Why do you got to make it weird at the end?
Because that's what I do.
I know.
Have you not seen his tagline?
I know. Those, yeah.
All right. Sign us off, Brian.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to Flame On, presented by Nerdy Show. If you like what you heard, please rate and review us on iTunes, like and follow us on SoundCloud and Audioboom, or subscribe and stream on Google Play. Flame On was created by Brian Pittard and is engineered by Pat O'Rourke. As listener-supported entertainment, we rely on you to keep this and other shows on the Nerdy Show Network alive by telling a friend or funding the network via Patreon. Any size contribution gets you exclusive outtakes, episodes, and images from across the network, and there's even more perks available. Just head to patreon.com/nerdyshow. To find out how you or your company can underwrite this or other Nerdy Show programs, visit nerdyshow.com/sponsorships. For more podcasts, articles, community forums, and other awesomeness, visit nerdyshow.com, and be sure to follow Nerdy Show and Flame On all your favorite social networks. Follow us at Flame On Podcast on Twitter and Flame On Show on Facebook, Tumblr, and all your favorite gay hookup hats. If it's gay and geeky, we've got you covered.